Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
By LeBron driving.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Special night for Kemba Walker. He returns home to Charlotte, and the Celtics will leave Charlotte with the best record in the NBA. They improved to 6-1. They have won six straight since opening night, and they will head to San Antonio with the Eastern Conference lead and with confidence growing by the day. No contest tonight as the former king of the Queen City returns home. The final, Boston 108, Charlotte 87.
He had the right idea coming into the game, but you knew right after they played that video that probably was going to be a tough start. You know, that was really cool and great tribute by the Hornets. I know how much he appreciated it, and going out and playing a game after spending 9 years here is probably really difficult.
I don't think the way I played, you know, had anything to do with, you know, the emotions or anything like that. You know, my main focus was just to, you know, get a win, help in any way possible, and I thought I did.
All right, welcome to the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Chris Gasper out today. So Jim Murray, Sean Silver, Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, and you. If you want to join the show, 617-779-0985. That was the final call. Celtics' sixth straight win Thursday night in Charlotte over the Hornets, 108-87. You heard Brad Stevens, head coach, and then Kemba Walker talking about Kemba Walker going up against his former team. And Kemba was asked Kemba being asked if he had an off night because of, I guess, like homecoming jitters. Or something to that effect. Only had 3 points, and it was only because he got to the line the first half. So not that great. But other than that, Celtics in this game continue to get very good production from Gordon Hayward, who, without question, has been the Celtics' most consistent player since the start of the season. I think the defense has improved last handful of games. Seems like they're forcing turnovers at a higher rate, holding opponents to a pretty bad shooting percentage. I think it was Hornets, just looking here, it was just over 38% in this game. Jason Tatum is playing like what I think we all expected more of last season. Jaylen Brown returns from his illness. Rusty at times, but good to see him back out on the floor. So as of today, outside of the Enes Kanter thing, he's now, I just heard you saying the headlines there, Sean. He's missing his seventh straight game now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. But outside of that, all is good for the Celtics, right? And there's no but. There's no addendum to that. I'm not gonna Jones or Felger. But, no, all is good for the Celtics. They've been a good story. They've been a fun watch. They're like what I was hoping for going into the season. I think, you know, a couple of months from now, middle of January, random Wednesday or Thursday, you tune in, even if you're just a casual fan, you're going to get your bang for your buck, especially if you go into the building. Like, they're going to be a fun, likable team. They are. But here's the bigger question I want to ask to you, Sean, B-Rob, and you at 617-779-0985, and it stems from something that was asked last night. Got to do a spot on Boston Sports Tonight on NBC Sports Boston. Do they have a new big three? Like, people just, man, the NBA and these teams, they so lust for the big three. And a lot of it has to do, I'm convinced that these teams just want to push merch. You know, put these players' faces out there and sell shirts. I get it. You know, I too am a capitalist. Got to get that money. But is it a little bit premature? Might be. But do they have a new big three? Because if you look at the numbers, currently the Celtics have three players averaging over 20 points a game. Kemba Walker, 24.3. Jason Tatum, 21.6. And a rejuvenated Gordon Hayward, who looks Utah-esque, at 20.3. So Walker, Tatum, Hayward, three players averaging over 20. We were asked this on the panel last night. It was myself, DJ Bean, Daniel Trotta, and it was Lou Maloney. They have the new big three. I will start with you, Sean. Is the Celtics have the big three with Walker, Tatum, and Hayward?
No, I'm not buying that. I mean, I am buying the fact that
this Celtics team is one of few, if any, teams that have four guys who could hit for 25 points on any given night. And that's a nice luxury to have. There's different ways of building a team now. The new model seems to be the dynamic duo. You're seeing that with the LA Clippers, with the Rockets, etc. You've got your kind
Lakers
of
Lakers with LeBron
school.
And
yep,
AD.
Exactly. Lots of examples of that. You got your kind of old school. You know, the big three model was a thing for about a decade there. I think the 07-08 Celtics kind of brought it back. You had LeBron in Miami. You had, you know, everybody had to get to their big three for, you know, those years, or else they were going to have no chance. Well, the Warriors and their dominance kind of just wiped everybody out. They had a big, they were just, you just couldn't beat them. They were a movie monster that you really couldn't find your way through. And now that the Warriors are off of that top echelon due to injury and various other things, I think a lot of teams are, you know, kind of ruffling their plumage a little bit, saying, hey, you know, we're here too. We have a shot. You've got 8 to 10 teams that could probably, you know, you can make a good argument for to win the finals. And I think the Celtics are one that you can make an argument for. I'm not saying this is my pick out of the East or anything like that. I'm just saying there's different ways to construct a roster. And for the C's, everything that they need to do in the offseason, management, getting a superstar in who wasn't going to, you know, be a self-serving jerk, and the players going back to the drawing board and working on their games and doing things that would, you know, modernize and bring up to snuff their games, make them compatible with each other. They've done all of the things where they could have a very effective start to the season, and you just kind of hope that it holds and we don't have ego getting into things again.
Yeah, I, like I said, for me, I think it just feels a little bit premature to say that kind of thing. And it's fans and maybe the franchise lusting for a label so they can push merch, and it's just easy. Like, see, yeah, look at the numbers. They got a big three. I will say, if it is coming to fruition, and I came up with this on the fly, I was very happy with myself. Wanted to give myself the old pat on the back last night on TV.
And Barry Horowitz.
If you want to refer to it as the big three, it's, for me, it's three and we'll see. You know, right. So like Tatum so far, he's looked like what we thought he would be putting up last year, like we would hope for, and it just never really came. And he had like the disease of being, he had the Kobe effect a little bit too much, yeah, falling in love with that fallaway jumper.
He's ditched that.
Yeah, thankfully.
Again, did work that he needed to do over the offseason.
Yep, and with Gordon Hayward, he's bulked up a little bit, and, you know, it feels like he's back to where he was when he was with the Utah Jazz. So that's encouraging.
Got his mind right, too.
Yeah.
I think that might have been the most important part, which was the mental state.
Without question. So, like, those two, we'll see, you know, if this continues. I think you know what you have in Kemba Walker, and he is... you know, it was a down night for him last night in Charlotte. Maybe it was jitters or whatever. But overall, you know what you're going to get in, night out with Kemba Walker. You're going to be averaging over 20 points. But these other two, we'll see. So you might have a big three, but it's a big three and we'll see for me. Brian, Rob, what have you said? Is it a big three now with Walker, Hayward, and Tatum with the Celtics?
No, I think it's big three by committee, if you will, between these four guys. Yeah. I think it's going to be three different guys every night. I think the most encouraging thing, Jim, about just how this winning streak has gone is that all three and all four have played well in the same game at points. Like, I know Jaylen Brown's missed that stretch, but even that Toronto game, he was big. You know, the starting lineup is combining for 80, 90 points a game. This happened only a few times last year, like, period, over 82 games. So now, not only is everyone playing up to their potential, they're doing it together. And then, yeah, like, it's, like you said, it's premature for labels, but just the fact that they're doing it together, I think, is huge right now.
Has perspective changed? I know, again, we're only six games into this thing, and that was so ugly that first night against Philadelphia. But if you look at the landscape of the East, okay, Toronto looks, I think, a little bit more competitive than maybe some people like myself thought. Same with Miami. But Milwaukee and Philadelphia don't look as good as I thought that they would just through these first, you know, few weeks of the season. Has perspective changed? And you, I kind of think you alluded to it a little bit, Sean, that, you know, maybe the Celtics legitimately could come out of the East this year.
Well, yeah, if everything, you know, goes the way that you want it. And B-Rob just made the point that the starting lineup scoring 80 to 90 points a game. What does that say about the supporting cast? Now, yeah, there's, you know, in the big three era, you know, the Celtics could trot out Garnett, Allen, and Paul Pierce and just lay waste to teams. And you didn't really need all, you know, Eddie House, Chip in, Leon Poe have a big game here and there. The bench scoring last in the NBA right now. If you want to pick out things about the Celtics that make you uncomfortable, it's, you know, who from the supporting cast is really down to ride and take them on a magic carpet ride through the playoffs. But if these guys are clicking and, it, you know, whether it's big three by committee, whatever they need to do that they can function on the court together, because I've always said there's, you know, this is just too much reliance on the wings. They need to have a little bit more of a traditional lineup. hey, if this is working for them and they can do some sort of modern positionless basketball, the Brad Stevens wet fever dream, I'm not even sure what you would call it, that's their recipe to success. Let's see it here, because you can't blow it up and rebuild. These are your guys. You're tied in financially to guys now like Jalen. You're going to be coming up on an extension for Tatum. You've got Kemba. Gordon's here and he's playing well. So you just ride or die with these guys.
So Cantor out again. The five feels like it's going to be an issue for maybe much of the season, maybe up until the trade deadline or if a move is made. They're going to continue. So, again, you know, you point out to the bench scoring last in the league. Another thing that has been a red flag so far is their inability to rebound, clean up the glass.
Yep.
What can they do there? What's a realistic solution? I know Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer tweeted the other day, like, you know, look for the Celtics maybe, you know, going forward and maybe try to make a move at center. But what's a realistic move? Because, like, you know, in a perfect world, someone like Steven Adams is like the best center in the league, in a league that is kind of devoid of big men. But I just don't, I think to try to make a move for someone like him, you know, Oklahoma City's going to want a Tatum or someone like that, or even Marcus Smart, and I would be unwilling to move him. I don't know, someone like a Willie Cauley-Stein, Nerlens Noel, is that a little bit more realistic? Oh. And is that
Nerlens Noel?
I know, the man loves weed.
For so long. I've wanted him on the Celtics for like 5 or 6 years. Just come on home, Nerlens.
Why?
Have you seen? Well, B-Rob, of course you've seen, because, you know,
defensively he is an
observer of the game. He has stretches where it's just like, this guy is so good.
Yeah.
And then he's not.
But is that something you could maybe see them doing between now or, you know, round trade deadline? Because I just don't think there's going to be a big splash made at that position.
Can they make it work, B-Rob, financially, do you think?
Well, league minimums, right?
Yeah, for those guys, yeah. Noel, you can get no problem. The, like you said, Jim, the Steven Adams of the world, the Tristan Thompsons of the world, the bigger, the more traditional bigs, those guys make $18, $20 million. And so if you're not moving any of your core, you're not getting any of those guys. But there should be, you know, some under-the-radar pieces available. Again, depending on what kind type of position you want to go for. Do you want to add more shooting? Do you want to add just another traditional big? Like, there's going to be options. And if you move like a Cantor and then maybe one of the rookies or something like that, then you might be able to get someone there.
All right. I know it's a small sample size, only through 6 games, but I don't think it's premature to say that Gordon Hayward is back. Something that was declared by Sean Silver pretty much after the first game. So he will continue to crow about Hayward. We'll take a closer look at his game the other night, because if you've just been like only half paying attention, like just quick eyeball test alone, like not just the way he's attacking the rim and he's got that mid-range shooter going, like he's just bulked up. And I think that's one of the things that's benefited his game. So we'll take a look at Hayward a little bit closer, and Sean will continue to crow, caw, caw, about Gordon Hayward. Coming up next here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show. You want to join us, 617-779-0985.
1 hour each week at noon on Saturdays. The Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. Chris Casper, Jim Murray. The Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gordon Hayward switches to the left hand, runs into Zeller, switches back to the right hand, and scores anyway. No way a year ago Gordon Hayward keeps his balance after that kind of contact.
Yeah, the strength really to absorb it and then come in and still be able to jump up with that basketball and make a move.
It's a ridiculous road trip for Gordon Hayward so far. He's got 20.
It's kind of coming together for me. Maybe another year with the guys too, and them kind of knowing where I like to be at. And like I said, tonight they did a good job finding me on cuts and different things going to the rim. So certainly my leg feels a lot better.
Gordon Hayward looking mighty healthy. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Gasper out today. You get yours truly, Jim Murray, Sean Silver, Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, and you at 617-779-0985. So this has thankfully been a familiar refrain here since we started the show a few weeks ago when the season tipped off, is that Gordon Hayward looks like the Gordon Hayward of old, you know, the Utah Gordon Hayward. And that particular play I wanted to highlight, and at the time I think it was at that point, you know, so that was the 20th point that Sean Graney just said for Gordon Hayward. So it was like, you know, in the 50s at that point for the Celtics. But that particular play shows just how bulked up and how much Gordon Hayward has changed from last year or since he's been a Celtic. Like, if when he played at Utah, and correct me if I'm wrong here, both, you know, Sean and B-Rob, who certainly pay better attention to the league than I have over recent years, like, you know, he was a lot more athletic, a lot quicker, a lot more willing to go to the rim, take some contact. And you didn't really see that since he became a Celtic and had that awful injury, and I get it. Like, a lot of that, he had to get over that mental hurdle. But that particular play where he went through Cody Zeller for that layup and transition, like, it's like, oh, Even if I just seen highlights of him at Utah, like that looked like the guy that I think that we all expected to see here when he was signed in free agency a few years ago. Like that is a type of play that I've seen now a few times. Not even just these like the occasional fallaway jumper and the mid range shots that he made that are beautiful that you don't see enough in the NBA in today's modern NBA where it's just basically 3 and D and that's it and that's the game. It's that type of stuff that it's like, oh, okay, if he can continue this kind of thing, like, all right, maybe the ceiling is a little bit higher for the Celtics this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And he does things, to your point, he does things that other guys on the court aren't necessarily doing, which is one of the reasons that I enjoyed his play in the first place. Like, I didn't think him coming in from Utah that he was going to be a carbon copy of the guy in Utah because his usage was huge there because it was the Jazz. You know, it was just like him, Gobert, a bunch of other, Joe Ingles is, funny Aussie, and there you go. There's your team. Donovan Mitchell wasn't there yet. So it was a different sort of situation that he had to operate in. They weren't expecting as much out of Hayward, even when he was healthy coming to his first year in Boston. Now he's really had to step back, reinvent himself a little bit. There's still shades of the old Gordon Hayward there, but as you said, physically, his game's a little bit different, which is going to suit him more as he gets into his 30s. I mean, Michael Jordan couldn't just jump over people for his entire career. He had to get a mid-range game. He had to bulk up. He had to deal with people trying to flatten him every night. And I'm not saying Gordon Hayward is Michael Jordan at all. But a healthy Gordon Hayward, optimizing himself within the flow of that four, big three or four, whatever you're saying, is the very best case scenario for this year's Boston Celtics. It brings up, going forward, what do you do, contracts and all this, but we'll worry about that later. Just the fact that you're getting this out of him now was unexpected by many. And like I said, I was heralding the return of Gordon Hayward when everybody was still stuck in their Kyrie Irving fallout shelter, just too afraid to come out into the daylight. But it was more because on the air, I let my takes are informed just by what I want sometimes much more than what I actually see happen.
No, we all fall into
that. I just wanted him back. And when I had the chance to jump on that, I was like, all right, we're going with this here. And here he is.
B. Robin, being in the locker room and talking to him, does he seem like a different guy compared to the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely just doesn't want to talk about what happened 2 years ago. And that is a sign of this is the new normal now. Like, we don't need to keep dwelling on that. Like,
that's probably the best way to go about it. Like, bury it, bury the shovel. This is the new me, and, I'm back, and I don't even want to focus on any of that negative crap anymore.
Exactly. It's like he's turned the page. And I think that kind of happened this summer to a degree when he was able to get in all the extra work and just actually focus on his game as opposed to just, like, trying to figure out how to get this ankle healthy and figure out what he can and can't do. And now, even, like, beyond the scoring, he's averaging 8 rebounds a game. So, his ability to do just the little things in the game that he was able to help out a bit last year, even when the scoring wasn't there, now that he's, fully engaged in those areas too, it's something where the Celtics can get away with playing these four wings because you have a guy like that who has the bulk, who's able to go down there and, is happy to do the dirty work too.
Something Sean just alluded to, though, I got to ask you, B-Rob, is he a potential flight risk, knowing that next year's free agency class in the NBA is basically going to be garbage? He got the opt-out. Like, could he be moved at the trade deadline, or is it just too early to be even thinking about anything like that?
First off, has anyone's stock in NBA history shifted as quickly as Hayward here for next year?
No, it's true, because I mean, I think there was times last year that myself and Jimmy Stewart were referring to this as the worst contract in the NBA.
And you weren't wrong. It looked like an albatross. And again, it's same thing with like Paul George, 2 years out and someone guy's coming back. But with Hayward, I think it's a situation where I'm not worried about him leaving. I think he could opt out, but the fact that even though the free agent class is bad, there are so many teams. There are no good contenders with cap space. There's no perfect situation like the Sixers with Al Horford where they can come in and give you, we're going to give you the moon, we're going to give you the perfect situation and a chance to go for a ring. Where is he going to go? The Atlanta Hawks? The Charlotte Hornets?
What about Miami?
That's actually a legitimate risk because they were in the mix at the end a couple years ago. But I would think, given what he's gone through here, his rapport with Brad Stevens, and they can't afford to lose him for nothing, Jim. So I think that situation where they're going to find a solution there. Whether it's him or, trading Jaylen Brown in order to keep him a couple years down the line.
There you go. That's how you get Steven Adams, Jim.
Yeah. Luke in Vermont. Green Team Luke, what's up? Hello, Luke.
It's the core four. It's not the big three, Jim. Jaylen Brown is going to insert himself. You're going to have four of your five starters averaging about 90 points. But I do think people are underrating Hayward still. His last year in Utah, he was the fourth-ranked forward in all of basketball behind LeBron, Kawhi, and KD, ahead of guys like Paul George and Jimmy Butler. This guy can be a top 15, maybe even top 10 player under Brad Stevens. And if he is that, with the addition of Kemba Walker and Brown and Tatum on the rise, this team can compete for a championship if everything goes perfect for them. That's still an unknown. We're not there yet. We're a long ways away from that. But it's going in the right direction, unlike last year, which they were always going in the wrong direction.
For sure. And, Luke, who do you, because I don't think we've asked you this on Felger and Mans, like, who do you, outside of Milwaukee and Philly, or maybe you think they're overrated, like, who do you look at as, like, legitimate competition in the East?
I mean, I think Milwaukee, I don't think Philly is as good as everyone else. I've never been up on them. Milwaukee scares me because Greek is unbelievable with all their shooting. But I, and I've heard you say this too, Jim, I was shocked. I was at that Toronto game and shocked at how good Pascal Siakam was. All the shooting they had around him. They have legitimate size. They just looked like a championship team, even though they didn't have their best player. They still carry themselves that way. They're still well coached. I mean, you remember when LeBron left those teams, those guys like all knew when he left it was over.
Oh, yeah.
Toronto doesn't look like they think it's over.
No, it's a good point. And that's, and Siakam, too. I think he hit five straight threes in that game. It's like, oh, damn. Like, I don't know. But he really had this in him, too. Like, you know, he can be a force in the paint, but he's had that kind of shot and that with that kind of consistency. Like, they've been, you know, for the league so far, it's been one of the better stories. I thought that they also would have crumbled, you know, like those post-LeBron Heat teams. But, no, I think that they're going to be there in the end. They seem like they're going to be a bit of a pain in the ass. The same with the Miami Heat. We'll continue to take your calls. You want to talk C's here. It is the Sports Hub Celtics show. But I do want to take a look at a bigger league-wide story that that came up this week, which we'll continue to, because this is what happens in the NBA now. I'm talking about the old load management. Boy, that gets the old, that really draws the ire of the olds. This wouldn't have happened in my day, but this is the new normal in the NBA. So we'll touch on load management. Kawhi Leonard sitting out the other night against the Greek Freak in Milwaukee on national television. Oh, how dare he? We'll get to that after the Sports Hub headlines here with Sean Silver.
The excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, you mean to tell me that Kawhi Leonard can't play tonight? For those of you out there who sit there and wax poetic on the greatness of the modern-day athlete, I'll say one thing, all right? Physically, I get it, you know, taller, stronger, and all that nonsense. Here's the bottom line, and put this in your pipe or shove it up where the sun don't shine. Larry Bird will be in the game tonight. I guarantee you right now. If Clyde Drexler, this is a good example because, you know, this is not a Lakers-Celtic thing. If Clyde Drexler and the Blazers tonight were playing in Boston on November 6th, I guarantee it, Larry Bird will be in the game. I guarantee it. So you can sit there and wax poetic until the cows come home. I want Kawhi this and LeBron that and all this nonsense. That is an absolute disgrace that he's not in the game tonight. And I don't want to hear about injury. I'm not interested because they do this nonsense all the time. We got to rest him for tomorrow against the Blazers. Really? Really? That's what we got to do now? You got to. Here's what I would tell Doc Rivers. You know what? If nothing else, for your TV partners who make the NBA and those players a fortune, TNT and ESPN, sit out the game against the Suns on Sunday. You know what? You owe it to the league and to the television companies that make you a fortune by playing in the two games this week at home that are on television. Oh, it's a disgrace.
Disgrace seems strong, but the man runs hot. That's Chris Mad Dog Russo on his show on Sirius XM, Sports Hub Celtic Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So he's going bananas over the Clippers, sitting a healthy Kawhi Leonard against Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks earlier this week. And so, you know, this was the big story in the league this week. ESPN ultimately puts on a game on national television. It's the Giannis-Kawhi matchup. And you got Giannis against Montrezl Harrell, really, instead. And Harrell actually had a great game, 35 points or whatever the hell it was. And, you know, it just goes to show you how deep and good that Clippers team is, and they'll probably be there in the end. But people lost their minds over this. The continued talk of load management and load management continuing to happen in the NBA. Sitting these guys is a real issue. It's a disgrace. Larry Bird would not have taken that night off. And I don't want to be too harsh on Mad Dog, because I actually owe the man a debt of gratitude. Really, if you don't know, like, I wouldn't be here today without him. I ultimately placed second in a wacky contest he did now 10 years ago on Sirius. So you think you can talk sports? I placed second, and thanks to that, I was able to weasel my way into the Sports Hub part-time, and I worked my way up. So thank you, Mad Dog. Always love seeing him at the Super Bowl. He's great. One of the best of all time in this medium. But on this, I couldn't disagree more. I could not. In Kawhi's case alone, this is a guy that's dealt with like a real quad issue. It was the thing that became the breaking point between him and Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. Like a real quad issue he's dealt with in the last handful of years. And he literally said last year when he was with Toronto, he and the Raptors would not have got to the NBA Finals without load management. This is now what happens in the league. This is today's NBA. These star players are going to take time off. And so to you, the fan, the Clippers fan of the league, Sean, B-Rub, you guys are fans of the league. What's more important? May, June, the playoffs, another title, playing for another title, or some useless game during the slog of an 82-game season? And that's really what this, to me, bigger picture, is what this really speaks to. The uselessness of the regular season. There's too many games. Who's really mad about this? The greedy TV execs? I don't give a rat's ass about them. The olds, like Mad Dog and, you know, like, others that are like, in my day, this wouldn't happen. Like, I don't give a rat's ass about you. The game has changed. This is how it is now. And what, the season ticket holders or someone that maybe bought on StubHub that night and you took your kid and you're mad because you bought tickets and you paid for parking, you paid for snacks, you brought your kid? Oh, well, buyer beware. And anything outside of that, it's a good life lesson for your kid. Don't get your hopes up. That's life. It sucks sometimes. So this is the way it is now. It just, to me, it's like, what really shows is you should probably shorten the season, because the more important thing is the postseason and the title.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with Russo, but for different reasons, I guess. You know, I'm certainly not as vehement about it as he is. But it you know, we spoke in the first hour about how it's a kind of a foregone conclusion that the Patriots will be where they are. You know, thus trivializing the NFL season. We spoke about the Red Sox during a 108-win campaign, that the only thing that matters is what they did in the playoffs, thus trivializing their 108-win campaign. And the NBA, a league that already gets, you know, has risen to more national prominence, I'd say, within the last half decade than it had probably since the 80s, or at least when Jordan was still playing, right? But it still gets criticized by, you know, certain people, olds, people on Twitter, et cetera. You know, the only part of an NBA game that matters is the last 2 minutes. Why would I want to watch all the other stuff? Well, now we're saying that the only part of the NBA game that matters is the last 2 minutes of a game that's being played in May or June. So the trivializing of the regular season, to me, it's, you know, it's a take. But it's just disappointing. I mean, you know, you say this with the NFL. You would watch bad NFL games. You know, you would watch primetime games just because they're on. It's, you know, I'm a baseball fan on the side when it's not basketball season. It is a part of my rhythm, all right? I enjoy my rhythm. So, you know, basketball players being out of rhythm, they don't necessarily owe anything to me. But the fact of the matter is, and maybe careers are getting extended now. You know, you're seeing guys play into their mid to late 30s that maybe would have been done by 31 or 32 during a previous era. But, you know, it's just a little bit disappointing when my rhythm is interrupted. So if we feel like we need to get up on the soapbox and grouse, then so be it.
But that's the thing, though. You say a little bit disappointing. See, you're level-headed about it. If you went to
I'm
a game...
I'm always level-headed, Jim.
Well, but if you went to a Celtics game and you wanted to see Hayward, and you paid, you know, say it was even secondary market, you paid maybe double for those tickets, but you went, you still got a good game of the Celtics win, you might be a little bit disappointed. Mm-hmm. But overall, did you have a good night? Did you enjoy the product?
Sure.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to, you know, pay out his rear for tickets. I'm just a cheap bastard, yeah. And that's what's going to happen. So, my first Celtics game, I really, really wanted to see Manute Bol. Really wanted to see him, and the Sixers started Charles Shackelford. I got over it. It was okay. Yeah. I saw Charles Barkley. I saw the Chiefs score his 20,000th NBA point in 1991.
You still got a story.
Still okay.
And I think people have completely lost their minds about being mad about this. It's like, okay, yeah, all right, it was a primetime game. It would have been nice to see those two go head-to-head.
Would have been cool.
Harrell had a good night. and it was still a good game.
Love Trez.
Yeah. So, B-Rob, like, this is just, I feel like this is just going to be a continued cycle in the league. Like, people are just, the old people and your usual suspects are going to continue to be mad about it and say, back in my day, Larry Bird would have never missed this game. He would have never sat out against Portland. He definitely wouldn't have missed against Clyde Drexler. This wouldn't happen. Rah! And younger folks, like yourself, realize this is just part of today's NBA. It's going to happen. Get the hell over it.
It's a fun talking point for the old guys. I think you nailed it. Yeah. I mean, this is, like, it's early in the NBA season. There's not a lot to talk about right now. It's sort of league-wide stuff. This is a perfect thing to harp on. And this was, like, the perfect storm, guys. Like, the Portland game was also a national TV game, and that's against the conference opponent. So the Clippers clearly care about that game more, despite the fact that, yeah, Giannis versus Kawhi is a, like, more fun matchup. Like, they're going to care about beating the team that's in their own division or whatever. So, I mean, if the NBA wants to take care of this for these, like, top-tier matchups, which they should have, hey, don't schedule Bucks versus Clippers on a back-to-back with a national TV next door. Yeah, that's, like, just, like, go to the schedule makers and, like, hey, give these guys a day off before and after these really big games, and then we won't have to worry about this anymore.
No, that's also a good point. Like, the NBA, you know, they're partly responsible in terms of how they schedule these things.
Here's my thing, though. If it's just load management, it and its concept, I understand what you're trying to do with it, right? You're trying to get an MVP caliber player, and you're trying to coax him to the end of the season when he can do great things and bring your franchise to the tip of the basketball world. I get that. But when the NBA has always been about its superstars, and even assigning the superstar moniker to players on bad teams or players that aren't necessarily all that good, I mean, that's kind of what max contracts do now. Mm. You get a max contract, and you're an upper echelon guy. So, you know, the one that always sticks out to me is like when the Magic signed Rashard Lewis. It was just like, oh, Rashard Lewis. And it's like, he's Rashard Lewis, you know? So if guys, you know, who are the nominal superstars of a team like the Charlotte Hornets or somebody who just doesn't matter thinks that load management is the thing that now needs to be, whether it's built into their contract or some sort of tacit agreement that they're going to get days off, thus depriving the fans of a higher echelon player, maybe not necessarily a superstar. It's when everybody else thinks that load management is the way that they need to go because they matter too and they're special and whatever. And the disease of me starts further creeping into the NBA. That is the potential for that is what bothers me about load management, not necessarily just sitting Kawhi 10 times, 15 times a year.
Did you guys see LeBron try to win some fans over with this last night?
No,
he made some comments to ESPN, be like, hey, if I'm healthy, I'm playing. Like, oh, just God. Kind of like, just like crapping over what Kawhi's doing.
He makes it so hard to like him. He's such a pandering ass. He really is. Nate in Boston on the load management Kawhi Leonard situation. Hey, Nate.
Hey, guys. Murray, I love you, but I'm sorry. I just completely disagree with you on this. My whole argument is, what's the point of the entire season if players are just going to save themselves for June? What's the point of us watching these games if their whole mindset is up? Oh, I'm just saving myself till June. It's not fair to me as a consumer who's watching the game, who expects to see this, and just because you want to, I don't know, save yourself for June, it's freaking November. And another thing is, why don't these players, if they have a back-to-back, instead of sitting out a whole game, why don't you just sit out for 15, you know, minutes? Why don't you only play 15 minutes per game? I don't understand why Kawhi couldn't just play less minutes in both of these games. And I was really looking forward to that game because that's a potential finals matchup. I get it. It's not – doesn't really matter because it's a regular season game. But at the same time, as a fan of the NBA, these are the things that you want to see. Could you imagine, you know, Patriots versus Chiefs and like Patrick Mahomes sitting out simply because of load management rather than his injury. Like, can you imagine how upsetting that would be? So that's my only argument with this.
Yeah, it's fair. I get it. Like, I just when people like completely lose their minds, like Mad Dog the other day did, and you know Maz was pretty hot about it on Felger and Maz this week. It's like, all right, like, I mean, these things happen. Like, I'll give you two good examples where it did affect me. And like Sean, I was like, well, that sucks, but whatever. I'm still here, and I'm going to enjoy myself. I mentioned earlier, I do a road trip for the Patriots road game, like better part of the last 15 years. I'm going to Philly next week. In 2015, they play at Dallas, wanted to see the new stadium. That's a trip we do. Tony Romo, shocker, hurt. I forget what bum backup it was that day. A completely uncompetitive game, but what, you know, whatever. Still had a great time. Got to see the stadium. Patriots win. Yay. Got over it. Another one, not sports related, like a complete a-hole a few years ago when Hamilton was the hottest thing on these streets and you had to see Hamilton. Oh, my God, go to see Hamilton, 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 got to see Hamilton. I was supposed to go out to Vegas to see some friends and It was during the NCAA tournament. Go sit at a sports book, do all that. And at the last minute, I'm like, I can't make it. But I'm going to use this money. I'm going to go to New York. I'm going to buy myself an overpriced single ticket to Hamilton. I'm caught up in the hype. Got to see Hamilton. I don't want to tell you what I spent for that ticket, but it was way, way, way too much money. So I go on Broadway, see Hamilton. And what do you know? Lin-Manuel Miranda not performing that night. Was I pissed? Oh, you bet I was. But you know what? I got over it. It was a great show. His stand-in did it. It was still great. Nightly performers take games off. Nightly performers take shows off. And in the NFL's case, injuries happen. Things happen. Whatever. You go. You enjoy it and shut the hell up. And more than anything else, it just shows you there's too much inventory. The seasons are too long. They are. The NFL's the only one that got it right, and they want to add games, those greedy a-holes. But the NBA, the NHL, and Jesus H., baseball, like your regular seasons are too long. What it really comes down to is this. Your seasons are too long. Fix it. They won't. They won't. It'll never happen. We're through that door, and the owners, you know, they want to get that money, and they want as much inventory as possible, and they're going to ruin the NFL that way by adding games. It's going to happen. But that would be the thing. Just shorten the seasons, and we wouldn't have this issue. We wouldn't have the load management issue that everyone's got their backup about. All right, one more segment to go here in the Sports Hub Celtics show. You want to join the conversation on this, anything Celtics related as well, 617-779-0985. And the funniest story in the NBA took place last night. We'll get to that next.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I believe the league has a long-term problem. When it pinches them, I don't know. But Kawhi not playing, to me, is ridiculous at this point. I don't understand it. He is a great player. He is compelling to watch. If you've watched any of his games, he's been absolutely brilliant in the fourth quarter and won them a ton of games. And the Clippers obviously have a responsibility to Kawhi and to winning and to long-term. But the league also, I believe, is and should be concerned that their best players are not playing on nights when they're on national television.
More finger-wagging and pearl-clutching, this time from Doris Burke when it comes to load management. There's a responsibility to the TV executives. Like, Doris, love you. She's one of the greats in the NBA in terms of commentating. But, like, I'm right. Like, calm down. Again, what it does is exposes that the NBA has too long of a regular season. That's my opinion on it. Jim Murray, it's the Sports Hub Celtics show. Chris Gasper out today. Got Sean Silver and Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, who has some of the best Celtics coverage in the area. Sign up, bostonsportsjournal.com. Check out his work there. Check them both out on Twitter. So a few things as we wrap. This is normally where we say tell you what's next for the Celtics. And up next is a game tonight. This evening, rather, with a 5 p.m. tip-off against the San Antonio Spurs. Celtics will look to extend their winning streak to 7 games, but they will have to do something they've only done once over the past 8 years, and you actually have the breakdown statistically, or the numbers surrounding this, and that's beat the San Antonio Spurs. They, like, never beat the Spurs, again, once in the last 8 years. What is it exactly, Sean?
Yeah, they're 1 in their last 14. That's from our guy Tomac on Twitter, the Polish king of Celtics basketball. The last win in San Antonio was in 2011 when you had Nenad Krstić starting at center.
Jesus.
For the Seas, and a very different looking starting five, obviously, because Marcus Smart, the longest tenured Celtic now, has only been here since 2014. So that was a long time ago.
Yeah, so no small feat there. It almost makes me want to text or give a call to our guy Joe Murray. Like, it feels like the Spurs are a lock tonight. Spurs 4-1 at home. But again, tip off 5 p.m. Sean Graney, Cedric Maxwell going to have a call here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I mentioned last night in the NBA, funniest story in the league so far, maybe the funniest story in sports as we are coming to a close in just about a month plus here in 2019. If you didn't see this, last night there was a tweet that went out from Andy Slater, who does sports radio down in Miami. And it says, Miami Heat player, he tweets out, Miami Heat player had a medical emergency on their flight from Phoenix to Los Angeles Thursday night, according to sources. A Heat spokesman told me the team cannot comment due to medical confidentiality laws. All right, so nothing funny about that, Jim. What are you talking about? Yay, oh, that's scary. Update. Dion Waiters is the Heat player who had a medical emergency on that team plane, I've confirmed. Waiters overdosed on gummies, sources say, and was passed out when the plane landed. He had a seizure when he finally woke up, I'm told. Waiters listed out tonight. Illness. Seizure, not funny. Funny is overdosing on gummies. That's edibles to the uninitiated. Weed brownies, weed gummies, you know, weed treats, things of that nature. It's something I can relate to. Dr. Weed on Felger and Maz. They bust my balls all the time. I don't smoke nearly as much as you people think that I do. I don't. I have my medical card, so it's all above board. And by the way, it's legal here in Massachusetts, so whatever. Yeah, I smoke. I enjoy it. It relaxes me. No issues there. But the edibles? Oh, boy. No. No, I can completely relate, Dion Waiters. Never again will I touch a weed edible. Because for me, and I don't know what it is, it's a body chemistry thing. Sometimes you talk to some people like, oh, yeah, no, I can smoke up or vape, no problem. But gummies, edibles, nope, can't do it. Because it's the equivalent of taking like two tabs of acid out of your mind. Bah! Makes you crazy. I'm the same way. So poor Dion Waiters. I feel bad for him in some way, but also hilarious. Because it hits you this way every once in a while. And boy, you'll learn a lesson fast like he did last night. And I did probably 10, 11 years ago. And I swore never, ever, ever again. Had a cookie. Size of a hubcap. Thing was too big. My buddy who made it was like, oh, yeah, no, it's low dose. Meanwhile, he's just trying to pull a fast one on me. I was convinced. I'm like, he put tabs of acid in this thing. I thought the floors were talking to me. I ended up being like cradled up in my shower, sitting in the shower, just rocking back and forth. I'm like, oh, my God, I just got to ride this out. I got to ride this out. This is so horrible. Having like straight up panic attacks. Oh, it's the worst. But I've been there, so I have to kind of laugh at him. So Dion Waiters, the funniest story in the NBA, overdosing on gummies on the team plane. His mother also responded to this report from Andy Slater on Instagram, saying thanks to all who reached out concerning Dion Waiters. He's good. We appreciate it. So there you go.
Are those in the NBA's drug policy, I wonder?
Probably not. No.
He hasn't played this year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was suspended to start the year, so okay. He should be good. Yeah. Go back on that list now, I guess.
He should be all right. I did sports radio with, I'll keep him unnamed because I still think he wants to try to get a gig in the league, but it was a former coach turned broadcaster. Now he's still broadcasting. But former NBA coach and player who said that their testing in that league is so lax and, you know, there's ways around it. And he's like, man, he's like, I can tell you right now. He's like, from my playing days, my coaching days, which weren't all that long ago. He's like, dudes smoke up all the time, all the time. It's one of the ways that they deal with pain management and to get through the slog of the 82 game seasons. One of the reasons that they have to have load management. But boy, Dion Waiters, now you just know. Vape pens, smoke up a little before you get on the plane, but never, ever, ever again with the edibles. Oh, my God, I would never touch one of those things ever again. All right, we segue from the Sports Hub Celtics show to one more hour of a Gasperless Gasper and Murray. We'll get to that after the Sports Hub headlines with Sean Silver.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's #1 sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.